Greetings, church family and friends. It's so great to be here and be with you and worshiping God in this space. I am just so filled and so grateful. Our reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38, outlines the prediction of Jesus regarding his impending death and his explanation to the disciples of the way of the cross. In the Gospel of Mark, we have the unique opportunity to truly appreciate and reflect upon the humanness of Jesus. Like the other synoptic Gospels of Matthew and Luke, Mark portrays a very divine and powerful Jesus, but with a twist, the interjection of human emotions. Neither Matthew nor Luke reveals this type of portrait of Jesus. A specific example you're going to find in our text today. The Savior appears frustrated with the disciples' inability to grasp the important aspects of his death and resurrection. This section of Mark's Gospel is filled with tension and urgency. Jesus realizes that the earthly ministry is coming to a close, and there's very limited time with his disciples before he must hand over the reins to them. The whole future of the church will soon be resting solely on the 12, so their grasp of the need for Jesus to experience rejection, suffering, and then eventual death on the cross is crucial for his ministry to continue once he has left the earth. The disciples are fearful of losing their beloved friend and teacher, and Peter in particular does not want to accept Jesus's predictions. So he challenges the Savior in verse 32. Jesus's response to Peter and the other disciples clearly defines the difference between divine intentions and human desires. He's spelling out for his disciples and for us that Christian love is backwards. And if they, or we, are willing to deny our earthly desires and take up their cross to follow him, they and we will be saved. The backwards message contained in verse 35, and Jenny had mentioned it earlier, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it, is very interesting, because in Mark's gospel, this human expression of frustration in Jesus to accentuate the need for Christians to express divine love and devotion by denying their human side and focusing solely on spirituality. So, friends, please listen now for the word of God. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, 31 through 38. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, and he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called to the crowd, along with his disciples, and he said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with all the holy angels. For the word of God in Scripture. For the word of God among us. For the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Friends, will you please join me in a spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, as many of you may know, I have the distinct pleasure of teaching young children. I love that I have had this wonderful opportunity for over 25 years, but it goes without saying that the challenges of educating small children virtually due to the COVID-19 pandemic have been overwhelming. Thankfully, most children are very resilient and flexible when it comes to online learning. However, speaking from experience, teachers on the other hand have had to muster up every ounce of patience to reiterate such commands as, please come to screen, or I cannot hear you, kindly unmute yourself, multiple times, day after day. Not long ago, I was attempting to teach a rather lengthy lesson about the digestive system to my remote kindergarten class. Finding my audience was less than attentive, I began to feel frustration well up inside of me, and I must have inadvertently let out a slight groan. One of my astute students called me out saying, Miss Lori, it appears you are tired. Maybe you need to take a break? Yikes. Needless to say, in my embarrassment, I realized teachers are human too. But what about Jesus? We're reminded in the Gospel of Mark that the Son of God experienced frustration too. Reliving my own experience of failed instruction, I try to imagine how frustrating it must have been for Jesus to preach his urgent message of salvation to his closest, dearest followers and friends, only to be met with confusion and criticism. Our Savior realized that he had little time to give final instructions to the disciples who would be assuming this very important responsibility for his ministry, and then relaying that same message of salvation after his death on the cross. The disciples loved Jesus, so it's easy to understand how offended Peter became when the Lord spoke prophetically about his suffering, death, and resurrection. It seems to me Peter, as a close friend of Jesus, must have been very surprised and shocked by the angry proclamation, "Get behind me, Satan!" Considering this interaction from Peter's perspective, it appears rather backward, I guess, that his dearest friend and mentor, Jesus, would need to endure ridicule, torture, and painful death on the cross in order to be able to save the world from sin and death. If I were Peter, I would be thinking to myself, "You are doing such a great job here, preaching and teaching and healing, and guess what? We need you here, Jesus. We need you to help us get the message of God's love to the people." But Jesus was short on patience and time, and so he responds, "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely the concerns of humans." This kind of display of backwards love poses great difficulty because it defies human nature and understanding. It seems backwards that the Son of God, the King of Kings, our wonderful counselor, who brought justice and healing to the afflicted and the oppressed, would be tried, convicted as a criminal, and then sentenced to death on the cross. No doubt this type of sacrificial love is backwards, but consider for a moment other powerful messages in the Bible. And Reverend Jenny shared a couple of those a few minutes ago. So the last shall be first and the first shall be last. That's Matthew 20:16. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. And then, of course, the verse we read today. For whoever wants to save their life must lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. The message in verse 35 must have appeared very backwards to the disciples. But we understand that Jesus is not speaking of martyrdom. He's reminding the disciples and us that we must put aside our earthly concerns and desires in order to fully embrace a spiritual commitment which places God at the center. Undoubtedly, it is a significant challenge to think outside of the realm of egocentric desires and then focus our lives instead on aspects of spirituality that will be pleasing to God. But I'm going to tell you that it is not impossible. I want to share a moving example of backwards love. It was an entry on a daily devotional page that the UCC website has, and this was from this past September, so September of 2020. There's a UCC pastor who lives in Berkeley, California, and her name is Molly Bassett. And she wrote in her post of a man called Molly Watkins, who is a high-functioning autistic Black man who blessed the world with his spiritual practice of dancing in the street to provide peace to the world. How beautiful is that? To provide peace to the world, he would dance in the street. One day, someone decided that he was endangering himself. And this day just happened to be last May 2020, and it was actually 2 days before the brutal death of George Floyd. And on this particular day in May, someone called the police on Molly. They said they were concerned about his health, about him being struck by a car. So 4 policemen came, and they handcuffed and they restrained Molly. They kneeled on him and they broke his tooth. The neighboring community, who all were familiar with Molly's peace dance, came to his rescue and begged the officers to please stop. They were told, "We can only evaluate his mental health once we have him under control." Thankfully, Molly was released from custody. And on the day that he returned, friends and neighbors joined together and celebrated with Molly in a beautiful multicultural dance in the street. It was a party in the street. Reverend Bassett had the distinct privilege of actually meeting Molly. And when she met him, she proclaimed, and this was written right in her own words, "I knew I was in the presence of someone anointed by God." I heard that and I thought, my gosh, to feel that kind of power coming from someone. I knew I was in the presence of someone anointed by God. She spoke to Molly and she said that she was so gravely sorry that he had to experience that and that that had happened to him. And his answer was a powerful proclamation of backwards love. Molly said, "No, no, it happened just as it was supposed to. I needed it to happen for everything else to happen." Molly exemplifies for us the human response of personal suffering with a holy purpose. Personal suffering with a holy purpose. In my own imagination, I can envision Christ himself, after the resurrection, saying these very same powerful words that Molly spoke. "No, no, it all happened just like it was supposed to. It needed to happen for everything else to happen." Molly understands what it means to love without limits. Molly understands what it means to pursue a holy purpose and live out backwards love that doesn't need reciprocity. Our Lenten journey, 40 days toward love, can help us to experience a Molly dance by providing opportunities to reflect and pray and practice taking up our cross, ultimately allowing us to personally experience backwards love. We can fully tap into the power of the divine by following Jesus' lead, using daily prayer to connect us with God, and then listening and reflecting on the leading we receive. The action ideas that were presented in the Lenten packets that everybody received are great opportunities to see and feel and experience God's love as exemplified by Christ's life and ministry. Offering service to those in need, expressing gratitude, spreading blessing, and openness through active listening and acceptance. And I'm going to say this one again, speaking to myself here too. Openness through active listening and acceptance are ways we can all take up our cross and act on backwards love. This places into our hands the chance to meet Jesus as he makes his way to the cross, feeling his passion and celebrating his victory over death. For many, the season of Lent is a time of giving up certain earthly desires. I would challenge us all to reconsider this practice and instead think about giving back. Giving back the abundant blessings that God has entrusted into our care. These expressions of backwards love honor the sacrifice our Savior made when he willingly gave his life for us, and therefore bring us closer in relationship with him, and in turn, our most merciful God. Amen.